shed.
Hello and welcome to day 3 of the Cosmic Shed Advent Calendar. I promised you a big name in space. Let's see who's behind the door.
So Andrew and I visited the Great Hall in the Wills Memorial Building at the University of Bristol to hear Professor Lord Martin Rees talk about the future.
Thanks, Steve. The Right Honourable Lord Rees of Ludlow is the Astronomer Royal and was the 60th President of the Royal Society. His scientific career is mostly known for his work on the cosmic microwave background radiation and quasars, and he has a huge number of awards, which I've listed them all, would make this episode too long. And let's hear from the man himself.
Do you still do research? Are you still doing science?
Part-time. I read the new preprints every day and still interact with people. But I tell people who want to work in the kind of areas I've worked on that they do better to work with someone who's better at computers coding than I am, because lots of the problems I worked on are now done by very detailed simulations which can give you much more insight. So I cheer them on and tell them they should learn more computing than I could ever learn.
Do you get any time with everything that you're doing to ever read any or watch any science fiction?
I tried to read Neal Stephenson's enormous books, but I gave up on those. Of course, I've enjoyed all the classics of science fiction, and they, I think, helped to get me into science. Mm. Reading Olaf Stapleton and Fred Hoyle and people like that.
Yeah, and
I'll tell you what, one thing. There's one very good book that came out about 15 years ago, which was by Ian Stewart and a chap called Jack Cohen, called Aliens, which was a condensation of the plots of about 30 or 40 SF novels. And that's good, because the ideas are normally good, whereas the rest of the plot and the writing may not be so good. So I wish there were more books like that, when one could actually get the ideas without having to work through the whole book.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good.
I was really pleased to hear you, particularly at a time of year when people are thinking about giving, promoting effective altruism and 80,000 hours. I just wondered if you had any recommendations.
You're involved in this, are you? Because I think
I'm active myself, but if you've got any advice for people that might listen to our podcast on how to access that.
Well, there's a very good book written by William McCaskill, which is called Doing Good Better. And the first part of the book is discussing how he thinks some charities are much better in terms of welfare per buck than others. And the second is really to address the kind of issues that might face a student trying to pick a career. And he does this. I should say that I think one criticism I'd make of effective altruism is it's based on a sort of very simple kind of ethics, sort of utilitarianism in the 19th century. Many people think that that's a bit too simple, and it's right to care more about your friends and families and local people than about some random person. It's not wrong to do that. And there may be other things that are intrinsically good, like producing beautiful works of art and things of that kind. So I think the idea that it's a simple greatest happiness, greatest number, which is the old 19th century idea, is probably a bit naive, but it's a very good guide. Although I think one should not be too critical of people who decide it's more important to help their family than to give money to Africa, and also people who feel it's a worthwhile life to actually create beautiful things.
I've recently been looking into Oumuamua, right?
Yes.
And can I just get your thoughts on the recent story that may be an alien?
Well, I think it's pretty unlikely. The person who claimed that is someone who always goes for the most publicity-worthy interpretation. Yeah. But it looks as though it's actually some sort of comet, because there's an upper limit to how much infrared radiation is coming from it, so that tells us there must be something with a high albedo and invisible, and smaller than people thought, deviating from a Newtonian orbit because of the jet outgassing like in comets. But it's still a bit surprising, because you don't expect many things to come from other stars, given the huge gaps between the different stars.
Mm. And that's something that we probably didn't expect to see coming through our solar system. But right. Is there anything that you'd like to see in our solar system, on our planet, or in the skies
well,
next
I'd
year?
Like to? I'd like to see a sail coming in, yes. And because I think SETI searches are, of course, a gamble. No one's betting on them, but it's so important that it's worth an investment of a few $1 million a year to look for them. And when we look, we should look for all possible options. You know, traditionally, we should look for radio transmissions, we should look at other wave bands, and we should look for artifacts. We should look for an asteroid that's especially shiny, or things left on the moon, or things like that. So we don't know what to look for, but I think we should look for things like that.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Martin Rees for talking to us, and I hope you enjoyed that. We'll see you tomorrow for day 4 of the Cosmic Shed Advent Calendar. Conversation between the crows there. Are they crows? Anyone know? The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.